Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo, and I'll be your host. The segment you're about to hear originally ran as part of Comic Geek Speak episode 188, which was originally released on October 11th, 2006.
All right, so like usual with our previews, we're going to get Mr. John Mayo on the phone and to take a look at the sales numbers for the top 300 comics for the month of August.
Hey, John. Ready to join us?
So Brian's getting him on. We didn't do the music this time around.
I'm doing it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
God, I can only do one.
You're blowing it. Whew.
Man, you spoiled my whole intro for John here.
Live from Texas, it's John Mayo with the Mayo Report.
That's the best intro in all of podcasting.
I love it.
How you doing, John?
Pretty good. How about you guys?
Splendid.
We do well.
Cool.
John, these numbers are for August, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Now, just to set the scene on that, that was the month where the entire industry collapsed because Civil War number 4 wasn't coming out. So we've covered everything. We're done. No. Where do you guys want to start this time around?
I want to start with number 301. Do you have that?
Damn, I only go to 300.
Well, one of the things I had you when we talked about this is the six-month mark of 1 year later, and I thought it'd be interesting to see the numbers of, you know, right the issue right before 1 year later, the 1 year later issue, and then obviously 6 months later. That's what you have on your list,
right?
Just to take a gander and see where some of these titles have wound up.
So, well, where most of them wound up was down. I went through basically everything that I considered part of the one-year later universe, if you will. So I included a couple of things that started later, such as the recently relaunched Justice League, and, you know, included some of the miniseries like Ion, the Crisis Aftermath, those sort of titles. By and large, what we saw overall was in just about every case, things went up. Sometimes they went up, like, to over twice what they were. But then what we noticed, you know, in the subsequent months was they would lose readers issue after issue. Sometimes not so much. Other times, you know, as big as the jump up was, the drop down was, you know, almost as steep. There have been a couple of titles that have, you know, had net gains. You know, Batman clearly is a strong title that came out of the gate, you know, doing really well and has hung on to the readers. It's a little early to tell where the Justice League stuff's going to go, but I mean that, you know, so far is shooting through the roof. Most of the big winners, though, seem to be from the Batman office. Batman, Nightwing, Robin. I'm trying to think, where is one of the others that seems to be doing really well?
Catwoman? Catwoman?
Yeah, Catwoman is doing really well. By and large, across the board, like I was saying, you know, everything right now is heading down. I think what's happening is DC had a huge success with 1 year later in terms of getting readers to try titles they hadn't been reading. So, you know, of course, that's why, you know, everything went up. But where I don't think 1 year later has been very successful is retaining those readers. You know, you've got titles like Blue Beetle, which, you know, is again a new title versus a relaunch or whatever. It started up around, you know, just under 70,000, and it's now at about half of that. You've got titles like Aquaman, which went from 18,300 copies to 64,400 copies. But has now, you know, drifted back down towards you know, 30,600 copies.
64 or 46,000?
46,000.
Right, okay.
But again, coming from, you know, around 18,000, that's a huge jump. But that one seems to, you know, clearly be, you know, trending back down. The question is when it levels out. And again, most of these haven't leveled out. I think in a couple of cases we're getting close to where they're going to level out. In others, I have no clue where they're going to, you know, come to rest. And personally, I find that a little troubling. DC went to a lot of effort, you know, shuffling creative teams, coming up with new approaches on titles, and it just seems like in a lot of cases the readers, you know, either haven't warmed up to that, or, you know, it's also possible that they're waiting for the trade. It could be that a lot of people, you know, read those first issues and said, okay, I'll try this stuff out. If I really like it, you know, I'll wait till they come out with the trades and, you know, pick it up from there. So I'm curious to see how the trades are going to do. What's interesting, though, is in a lot of these cases, you know, many of these titles haven't gotten enough issues out to make up a trade. Titles like Green Lantern, they've only had, you know, as of August, of course, three issues come out, you know, versus, you know, Green Arrow has had six, Hawk Girl has had six, Firestorm has had six, you know. Some of these are, you know, obviously, you know, you've got titles like Wonder Woman and stuff that are just egregiously delayed. And I don't know how much of that's playing into, you know, either a lack of interest or a lack of retention on the readers. But it's certainly going to delay any trades coming out in a few cases.
Now, of the ones that actually started, that had a series before 1 year later and had a 1 year later logo slapped on it, I counted 11 of them are still above where they were before 1 year later, and 5 of them are below. So I'm not counting like Blue Beetle or Checkmate or
okay,
or even Superman, Batman, Green Lantern Corps, or any of the Crisis Aftermath. Just the ones that, you know, the ongoing ones that had a title before, and six. Well, I shouldn't really say six issues because some of them probably didn't, but. It looked, 11 were still above their numbers from previously. Now, yet you'd have to go through and see how much above, obviously, because some of them are almost right at that same number, and some of them aren't. So.
Right.
But only 5 of them were below.
Yeah, I took a bit more of a broader view, because, I mean, the way I'm seeing this, and I certainly, you know, think the way you've looked at it is totally valid and stuff. I was seeing this as kind of the aftermath of everything from Infinite Crisis, you know, a bit of the 52 stuff. You know, this is the first time in like 20 years since, you know, Crisis on Infinite Earth that DC has not quite rebooted their entire universe, but certainly reinvigorated it. And I was hoping that, you know, a lot of these other titles would have, you know, the newer ones and stuff would have benefited from that. One of the ones you mentioned, though, that you did not count, and I would agree with not counting it as a strictly one-year later title, is Superman Batman. Between the delays and what just appeared to be, you know, in my opinion, almost filler issues, you know, I've been very disappointed with that title.
I think there's a lot of people who have been, including most of us.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but I would say right now the two that are in the most danger, even though they may be a little above where they had been prior to this, I think Aquaman, everything I'm hearing about it, you know, and, you know, my own views on it, not that great. You know, I think it's one that people had high hopes for, and they're just leaving in droves.
It's almost too much of a departure from the character.
And I also think that with Aquaman, there's always, every time they redo it, there's a high hope for it, because I think a lot of people want to see that character succeed, and it just never does.
Well, I would put Aquaman in a kind of a second-tier class of books. You've got your evergreen books, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern. that by and large are never going to go away. They may be, you know, gone for a month or two between, you know, relaunches or whatever, but month in, month out, DC's going to have those. But then that next tier, like you said, you've got Aquaman, where they really want to make this character work, but you look back over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, and, you know, Aquaman gets a title, it goes for a bit, it, you know, it gets canceled, they try another, you know, approach, direction, you know, whatever. It goes for a few years, it goes away, you know. So I think there's the expectation that Aquaman ought to be able to carry a book, but they just haven't found either the right take, the right creative team, or whatever it'll take to make that happen. I would put, you know, Hawkman in that same category. I would put Martian Manhunter maybe in that same category. Certainly Manhunter. I mean, over the years, they've tried to get a Manhunter title going, you know, constantly. And each time, I mean, man, talk about radical changes of direction. You know, it's a new character, it's a new take. About the only thing that remains the same is the name.
What was the other one you said was dangerous? Because that Firestorm is looking pretty low.
Yeah, Firestorm's looking low, which really disappoints me because I'm loving that book. But the other one I think we're going to see a quick change in direction on, I would say within probably the next 3 months, is Hawkgirl. That's another one that just about everybody is saying, you know, seems to be commenting that it just isn't that good. And yeah. I would agree. I mean, the creative team they put on it, Simonson and Chaykin, I mean, you know, that seems like it should be a surefire hit. But, man, this first story arc has just been, I mean, it's been boring. Yeah.
What's the, now on the sheet, you had your numbers for 49, you only have 2,500.
Yeah, I was just looking at that. I'm thinking I got that wrong. Yeah. Hang on, let me,
While you're looking, John, one thing I did notice in the latest Wizard, they have already talked about the new creative team on Firestorm. So
yep.
I was very disappointed for our buddy Jamal.
I was too.
Hopefully he'll be doing something else, but they change creative teams, they lose me.
Who is the new creative team on that?
I can't think. I saw it, but I can't think of who it was.
I know Dwayne McDuffie was going to do like at least three issues of
it. Yeah, I think you're right. He was the writer, and there was another artist, but they see he. The way they were doing it, it sounded like new creative team, as in they're taking over.
I would be okay with Dwayne McDuffie doing it. I think he's a very underrated writer.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good grasp on the DC universe, as we've seen from the Justice League cartoon. But again, I'm very happy with the book as it is, and it disappoints me that it's not catching on.
Yeah, I go with Jamie. If when they change that, they lose me.
I'm at the point where I'm having to cut back on my comic book buying somewhat substantially, and there are a couple where, you know, I really don't want to make, you know, cuts into the DC titles I'm getting, but, you know, Hawkgirl and Aquaman for me are on the fence. If they don't pick up soon, I am probably going to drop them. And I honestly can't tell you the last ongoing DC title I dropped. I mean, going back to like Crisis on Infinite Earths or earlier.
It does make you wonder if they're going to ride out the next six months to coordinate with the end of 52 and then have some kind of creative shuffle at that time. I'd imagine that they're going to start twisting things around to begin with, like we said with Firestorm. But, you know, Hawker, I can't imagine they're going to let that go another six or, well, I don't know what in this current previews if it's still the same creative team. But,
no, it hasn't been for a while.
No.
Chicken hasn't been on for a while.
Okay, so some of them I'm sure they're going to look at and twist, and other ones they're going to probably just let go.
Well, I think you got to figure this is also, you said 6 months. That'll be 6 months worth of a lot of these Brave New World titles. So that'll be about the time when they'll decide, you know, where the pooper get off the pot and with a lot of these.
Yeah, but the Brave New World titles have not launched all that strong. In most cases, they're, you know, 50,000 or less, or, you know, thereabouts. And actually, I got a private message from Chris Murren, who goes by Mitzel Pidlicker, however you pronounce it, on the forum. And he was basically wondering, you know, looking at the numbers, you know, is he crazy or are these really low for number one? And he cited specifically Trials of Shazam, Martian Manhunter, and Dead Man, which is really a Vertigo thing, not so much a 1 year later. And I did some digging around on that. And what's interesting is these numbers, well, yeah, they seem kind of low, are more or less how the previous titles for these characters launched. You look at Trials of Shazam, and really, it's almost exactly where Power of Shazam launched way back when, and that was, you know, ages ago. Likewise, for Martian Manhunter, it launched with very similar numbers around the time of the DC 1 million event. So there seems to be, you know, a core audience for some of these characters that will get them out of the gate. It's just a matter of, can the creative team hang on to these, the readers? And so far, I'm not seeing that happen.
Plus, you have to realize, you know, when they were releasing these books, money isn't exactly overflowing in most retailers' pockets right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, between doing for DC and then going and you know, buying all their Marvel books, and neither of them seem to be letting up when it comes to putting out new titles and trying new stuff, so.
Well, it's interesting because we've been at the point for, I would say, roughly 2 years now where both Marvel and DC are almost doing just event after event after event. And certainly, you know, right now, DC is, you know, kind of, I don't want to say milked 1 year later for all it's worth, but, I mean, they took good advantage of it. And meanwhile, I mean, like you're saying, money's tight. The number of Civil War tie-ins and stuff is just staggering right now. I'm wondering if we're, you know, starting to see a bit of a backlash on that with people just saying, you know, enough's enough, I got to cut back on my spending. I mean, I know I'm having to do that, but that's for, you know, more financial reasons than, you know, creative content reasons. But, I mean, you can only do so many of these, you know, earth-shattering events, you know, be it, you know, Infinite Crisis, Identity Crisis, 52 1 year later, or over at Marvel, you know, Avengers Disassembled, House of M, you know, Civil War. It would be nice if they would just focus on, you know, solid, good storytelling. And not to say they're not. I mean, what kills me right now is every month I look at the numbers, I see a lot of stuff going down, yet this is one of the best times to be reading comics. Both Marvel and DC are putting out some really great stuff, as is Image, and, you know, in the independent stuff, there's just some excellent work out there. You know, and either the money's not, you know, being able to get stretched far enough from, you know, either the readers or retailer pockets, or we've just gotten to an insane level of reader apathy, and I certainly hope that's not the case. So...
So let's move somewhere else on the list. What else do you got that...
Okay. Actually, one thing I do want to point out, just in terms of overall market share, Marvel did beat out DC in the monthly comics, although DC did a little better in terms of dollars for trades. But what's really interesting is, again, this was the month where everyone was up in arms about Civil War number 4 not coming out. This was the fourth best month for Marvel in the last 10 years.
Now, imagine how much better it would have been if the issue would have came out.
Peter. Well,
I mean, you can't look at it one way without looking at it the other way.
It would have been the best month. Because not only would you have had that, you would have had, you know, the Amazing Spider-Man, you would have had the other titles, because this would have been a middle of the month kind of thing when Civil War 4 came out. And until I get the numbers for those things, it's really hard for me to project exactly how strong the month might have been. But this was also coming off July, which was the strongest month for Marvel in the last, you know, 10 years or so. So, you know, in hindsight, you know, it does look like, you know, people were, you know, doing the Chicken Little bit, you know, just a bit too much.
Yeah, I mean, delivering the fourth best month in 10 years is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. And again, that was without, you know, a lot of the Civil War stuff directly. I suspect that September is just going to be gangbusters because, I mean, my God, there was so much stuff coming out. For the last, last week of September, I had 40 titles come out that I got. But, you know, and it seemed like every other one had a Civil War banner on it, but, I mean, not quite that bad, but still. Okay, where else to go? Since there was no Civil War, Top Spot was pretty much open this month. It went to Justice League of America number 1, 212,200 copies. That's going to go down, of course, because it had not only multiple covers, but I thought a brilliant strategy for multiple covers where they, you know, interlock or whatever. So, of course, you know, I got two copies. What else looks interesting?
Yeah, I'd like to see this. Runaways actually increased in sales. Went up 300 copies.
Yeah. And that one has the potential of shooting through the roof once Joss Whedon gets on it.
There's no question about it.
Well, to a degree, I think there is some question about it because in a lot of cases we see...
Hey, John, don't question me.
Okay, there's no question about it. You're entirely right.
Never mind that.
No, what were you going to say?
People don't always follow the creators. I think in this particular case they will, and I do think you are correct. But there have been plenty of cases where you've got top name talent that go on to another book, and nobody cares. I mean, Runaways isn't X-Men. The question is, how much of the audience for Astonishing X-Men is there because of, you know, Joss Whedon, and how many are there because it's a really good X-Men book?
Well, I think this will be a good test, because this is only the second book, other than maybe some Buffy stuff, that he's ever really written, right? Because his debut was really X-Men, so now you'll get to see what his star power really is.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're starting with a title that's only at 25,000 copies, so it really can only go up.
Sure, okay. Every time I think I see, you know, a new spot where titles just can't go any lower, you know, somebody comes out and surprises me. Yes, I think it'll go up, though. I've got high hopes for it. I'm enjoying Runaways. I think it's always been a good book. I love a lot of Joss Whedon's writing, and I think it'll be an excellent combination.
Yeah, I think his whole teen, the handling of teens in Buffy is basically what we're going to get in Runaways.
Yeah. And again, the book's perfectly suited for it.
Look at the Mouse Guard at 145.
Yeah, Mouse Guard is just doing gangbusters. It just continues to go up. There tends to be good reorder activity on it. I would say it's a clear success story. You know, I'm looking forward to them doing, you know, more miniseries and stuff on this. So.
And what's with Walking Dead? You don't have any up or down numbers here?
Yeah, I was just noticing that before you called. Apparently my computer, and I'm not sure why, but it got confused and couldn't find the previous issue. The previous issue was, of course, you know, 29, because the current one is 30, and it was only a difference of 100 copies. It went up 100 from 20,400 to 20,500.
So it's still going up.
It's still going up, and I'm kind of expecting with the next issue we may see a bump of potentially 1,000 or 2,000. What seems to happen with Walking Dead is the issue after a trade collection benefits from that trade. So around issue 24, around issue 19, and sometimes this is off by an issue or so, that's where it seems to, you know, people who had been getting the trade say, oh gosh, I can't wait, I need to get it monthly. So, but it's still climbing slowly and steadily. I'm very impressed with that. One thing to mention, though, related to that, is last month I was saying that it outsold Spawn. Well, it turns out Spawn was released in the last week of the month, and it had a couple of things that made it into this month, to the tune of about 9,000 copies. So Spawn is not outselling Walking Dead yet, but Walking Dead's going up, Spawn, not so much. In fact, this month it was down 600 copies to come in at 26,200 copies. So, you know, within potentially a couple of months or, you know, certainly within the year and stuff, I think it's highly possible Walking Dead will be outselling Spawn.
What's, you have Leading Man highlighted on 273.
Yes, I do. What did I have to say about that? Let's see, it went up with the second issue, and normally you don't see a bump on a second issue. Usually stuff goes down. So the fact that this went up, now granted, only by about 100 copies, so this may be, you know, illusionary, it may be, you know, roughly where it was at the previous month, it's still better than, you know, the typical, you know, 20 or so percent drop, sometimes more, on a second issue.
Yeah, I'm just looking at Exile number 2 from Boom Studios. That dropped 47% from number 1 to number 2. No wonder I can't find an issue of number 2 anywhere. Only 2,800 sold. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, when I get to this part of the list, I'm thinking, you know, there are more stores than this. Now, I don't expect every store to carry every independent. That's just not going to happen, and I know that. But there are a lot of stores out there that do support independents pretty strongly. So, you know, when you get titles that are selling, you know, in the 2,000 to 3,000 range, and they're good titles, I just don't get it. And I don't think it's a fault of the content by any stretch of the imagination. I don't even necessarily blame the retailers because, you know, they're trying to order exactly what they can sell. I'm not sure, you know, if it's just a matter of the direct market being, you know, fundamentally broken in some respect or what. But even stuff that is kind of a known quantity can come out of the gate with what I consider to be less than stellar sales. If you look down at 291, we've got Athena Voltaire, Flight of the Falcon. This is the first issue from Ape, which also included the contents from the Speakeasy one. So, I mean, there was the Speakeasy issue out there. People had an idea what this was going to be. I think it's great stuff. It came in at 2,100 copies.
That just disgusts me.
It floors me. Because, I mean, this is good World War II action-adventure type stuff.
Do you think the price point had a part to play in that?
Yes, but not necessarily in the direction you're thinking. I think the price point may have enticed some people to get it for the first issue with 48 pages at the $4.50 mark, whereas they may not be as likely to get it in the second issue, which has a cover price of, and I'm blanking on it.
It's $2.99.
I don't know if people will think it has the same bang for the buck or not. I hope they do. It's a good series. I support it entirely. And I've got to think that there's a bigger audience out there for this sort of material.
Well, not so much from the audience side, but from the retailer side. If they see an independent book that's almost $5, maybe they're not ready to put as much of their money into it.
I think that has a lot to do with it. I also think, unfortunately, a lot that had to do with it was the fact that this had already been solicited once before. I was not a big fan of the fact that they were putting out the number one with the number one issue from Speakeasy in it already. Again, and I'm thinking that had something to do with them people ordering it, because if they didn't read far enough into it to read there was a second issue there, they just saw it was a reprint of the Speakeasy, yeah, the stuff that was already printed in Speakeasy, and they just stayed away.
That's fair, and it's quite possibly what did happen.
Because I know, much as I love him, Lem will do stuff like that. He'll look at it fast. He'll see that, he ordered the Speakeasy one. The Scene of Voltaire was in our store. And I couldn't believe it. He did not get this at all. Oh. Scott had to try to reorder it. I don't know if we can get it or not.
Wow.
But we did not have this in the store. And I swear it was because he went through it quickly, saw number one issue, saw it was had already, you know, was had reprint stuff in it, and stayed away from it.
Well, I mean, it was a bad situation with Speakeasy going under, and, you know, I don't know what if there was a better path to go down.
Mm-hmm. I don't think.
Go ahead, guys.
I know what you mean. I know exactly what you're saying.
I mean, if they'd gone straight to trade, that might have, you know, alienated people who'd already gotten the first issue. If they'd just reprinted the first issue at a lower price point, that may have tanked and therefore, you know, put other issues in jeopardy. So
they were caught between a rock and a hard place, yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
And it'll be interesting to see where what number two does.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it does well. It's a good book. Another one that's near this end of the list at 271, Retro Rocket number 3. It sold 2,400 copies. Now, that's down 1,600 copies from the first issue. The reason I'm using the first issue versus the second issue is the second issue didn't seem to ever make it on the list, because it sold below whatever, you know, the 300-ranked item was. This book was late. It was late enough that I was starting to wonder if it was still coming out. It's a good series. I still enjoyed it, but for me it did lose a lot of momentum that it had built up with the first two issues. And this is a clear case to me that if they could have gotten it out on time, I think it would have had stronger sales. Of course, I could be totally wrong on that, too. Let's see. What else? Up at 208, we have Civil War number 1, still doing reorders of about 5,300 copies. So that obviously is looking to have some serious legs to stand on. A few spots above that is Devi number 2 from Virgin Comics with 5,500 copies. And that's down substantially from the first issue. There were reorders for the first issue, so it wound up selling a total of 8,400 copies. So it's down about a third.
You know, I just wondered, if anybody's in New York, stop by that Virgin record store and see if they're selling these comics in their store.
I would certainly hope they would be.
You'd think so.
That's an excellent question, though. I did pick up a copy of the first issue of Devi and read it, and excellent production values, excellent creative team. It's good quality stuff, but it's not something I'm interested in. I think that if they were to start picking content, I don't say more suitable to an American audience, but more marketable to an American audience, I think this company could definitely hit the big time pretty quick. As it is, they're aiming more for the market over in India, which is a very smart move, very interesting move. And, you know, they're doing more of the Hindu mythology, that sort of a thing. All fine and good. I'm glad this is in the market. It gives it more diversity, that sort of a thing. Just not something I'm interested in. One other thing that I found very interesting in the top comics list, partially because I'm not totally sure it should have been there so much as in the top trade / graphic novels, 167, Batman Son of the Demon sold about 9,200 copies. I would have considered that a graphic novel. In either case, it's a reprint of what? 15-year-old material? Maybe only 10.
Yep.
But certainly given what's going on with, I guess it's the Batman title itself right now, not the least bit surprising this sold so well. And last month, Jamie, you were asking about Ms. Marvel and how it was going to be doing and stuff with Civil War tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
It bounced up about 75% with Issue 6 going from Issue 5 sales of 38,900 copies to 68,200 copies. Clear, you know, bump obviously to Civil War, and I agree it's going to be very interesting to see how much of this it hangs on to.
Yeah.
Is that why you have the Black Panther highlighted as well?
Yes, thank you. I was actually just planning on going to that. Okay, Black Panther last month had a Civil War tie-in, and it was also the wedding issue. It sold 69,900 copies last time. This time around, it dropped down to 20,300 copies, which is a drop of just shy of 60%, and that puts it back in line with how it had been doing. There was, like, zero carryover whatsoever. Again, yes, one-issue crossover, you know, but I would... I'm amazed by the size of the bump, and also how it looks like none of it stuck. This is getting me very jaded on the power of crossovers and stuff. I mean, obviously, they sell well, but in terms of expanding readership on an ongoing basis, I'm just not seeing that being successful as a marketing strategy. Do you guys agree, disagree?
I don't know. I wonder if they don't pillage some of the other sales. You know, like, people have to buy five copies of different crossovers. Do they cut back two of their other books that they would have bought or something? You know, overall, we see that the sales are up, so you can't question that. But how much of it is sacrificing of other books as well? You know, are other titles going artificially lower because everything else is going artificially higher?
That's true. We're seeing a lot of stuff going up at Marvel, a lot of things going down at DC, and the question is that a cause-effect kind of relationship? I wish I had some way of measuring that, because that's an excellent question.
I mean, you know, we just talked about the one-year later stuff. Some of those took 6 months to reach the numbers that they had prior to that event, you know, that labeling of the 1 year later, whereas this one took 1 month. Then again, I also don't think 1 year later is truly an event like Civil War. I think 1 year later is more a theme more than anything.
It's a totally different kind of event. I mean, it's a coordinated relaunch of I don't want to say the entire line, but pretty much is. Whereas, yeah, Civil War is more of a traditional crossover kind of a storyline. And again, I wouldn't expect it to retain all of the readers and stuff, but I would have thought that at least a couple hundred, maybe a thousand or so people would have read Black Panther and said, hey, this is a cool storyline. You know, Black Panther's cool. It's got Storm, who's an X-Men. I mean, geez, it's great. I should keep reading it. And that doesn't seem to happen. So... very disheartening. I tell you, at this point, I would not know how I would try to market a comic book series for the life of me.
The whole thing is, I hadn't done my my off the rack with Black Panther, so next month you'll see the numbers jump.
Fair enough.
You do have a large head.
Yes, I do. Huge cranium.
You have a few more uplifting ones.
A few more uplifting ones. Okay, let's take a look. Let's see. The big winner, of course, would have been Justice League from the Zero issue. That doesn't really count.
Hey, I got a question.
Sure.
About uplifting. Here, let me find the spot again. I'm sorry. Usagi Yojimbo, down at 198, jumped 1,700 copies. What would make that title jump 1,700 copies? I'm happy, but it's just surprising.
Does Usagi appear on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoon? Seriously, they made a figure of him in the line, so...
I don't know. I just wonder if it's...
series.
It's issue 95, so is it now it's like the five-issue countdown to issue 100 or something that people are jumping on? Was it maybe the start of a story arc that leads up to 100 that might have attracted... old readers who decided to come back for six issues and, you know, check it out or something?
I don't know. I've been curious about that title for a while because a while back it had been doing around the I'm thinking 6,500 range and then dropped. And I'm like, you know, why did it suddenly drop? This is a you know, solid, consistent book. Everybody I know who, you know, would get it and stuff loves the title, and it's not one, oh, I'll get it this month, I won't get it the next. It's either you get it or you don't. It had been doing pretty solidly 8,000 or more up until about issue 65, at which point it slowly started to erode until it got down to around just under 6,000. Now, I've got it compared against... Is the right thing here?
There are actually two issues of Usagi this month.
That's what I was just noticing. I had just glanced back at the spreadsheet and I had looked at the other one. It looks like 94 sold abnormally low at 4,300 copies. 93 sold 5,900 copies. 95, of course, 6,096 at 5,800. Hmm. And that's pretty much right in line with how it has been trending lately. But I am curious why it's been kind of going down over the last, you know, 2-3 years, whereas before that it had been pretty solid in sales. Now, of course, that would also, time-wise, kind of coincide with the start of a lot of these major events, you know, at DC and Marvel. This could just be a simple case of, you know, people only have so much money.
Well, it's interesting because I love that title, but I have dropped it and picked it up so many times over the years because whenever I get into a financial crunch, it seems to be one that I drop. And then I come to my senses 6 months later and say, why? I can't live without Usagi. But then a year goes by and I forget that, and then I drop it again and the cycle repeats. And so I can understand if people said, oh, Civil War, and I'm going to drop something, and it off went Usagi.
Interesting. Again, most of the people I've talked to and stuff seem to be, you know, get it come hell or high water sort of, you know, fans for Dan Sakai.
So you got one more for us?
I'll go with 176, which is CSI dying in the gutters, and apparently 8,200 people wanted to see Rich Johnson die. And ironically enough, it looks like it's no longer going to be carried in the UK where Rich Johnson lives, so he may not see how it winds up.
Jeez.
That's just ironic. This did sell better than the average CSI titles, and I'm curious which was the bigger draw. Was it just all the comic industry guest stars or actually Rich Johnson getting killed?
Who's Rich Johnson?
He does Lying in the Gutters over at Comic Book Resource.
Right.
The gossip and rumor column.
Oh, okay.
That's why I picked up. I never bought the CSI books before, but I was familiar with the column, so I picked it up.
That's why I bought it, too.
Yep.
And speaking of Comic Book Resources...
nice segue, Peter.
Wasn't intentional, but hey, if you want to go there, that's cool. Yeah, I've got... it's off the front page now, but I've got my... charts of data and stuff, tables of data and stuff, being put up there every month now. So it's one more place people can find out about, you know, how things are selling and stuff. So, hopefully then come listen to Comic Geek speak and, you know, enjoy that too.
I was going to say, are you using the Mayo report? Because that's trademarked, baby.
No, I am not, actually.
Hold the Mayo, I think is what it was.
I consider that to be a joint effort.
And speaking of joint efforts.
Boy, Mr. Segway here.
Yes, for anyone who's wondering why we didn't talk about trade paperbacks with John, as we always do every month, that's because John is going to be joining Chris Marshall from the Collected Comics Library podcast to discuss the numbers of the trade paperbacks, since that's Chris's business. And so you'll be hearing that show across our feed in a day or two.
I think Chris and I actually still have to work out one or two things on timing of when we're recording it and stuff, but yeah.
I mean, a day or two from when they hear this episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, they'll hear it eventually, and so you'll hear the Mayo Report Part 2 brought to you by the Collected Comics Library.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to working with Chris on that. I think his knowledge of trades and stuff will be a big help to me in, you know, improving my analysis of that section.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. So instead of... Schmushing it all into ours, you know, we came up with a solution that works even better, even longer and stronger and meaner. And
yeah, even more Mayo report.
You're just trying to get rid
extra
of me.
Mayo.
Extra Mayo. Extra, jeez.
And speaking of getting rid of you.
Damn, that was a lousy segue.
We'll say goodbye.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you so much. That was great.
Sounds good.
Look forward to next month.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that wraps up this syndicated episode of the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo, and I've been your host. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is podcast@comicbookpage.com. Thanks for listening.